No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball, and welcome into yet another edition of Clown Takes. We've been scanning the Twitter waves, looking for some pretty outrageous statements, anything that we can glob onto. We're actually going to go after some uniform players this week, some guys making fools of themselves actually on the diamond this time. So a little bit different, but we got some strong candidates this time, so I think you all enjoy it. I am your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. Joining me on the show from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Massachusetts, is Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well. I'm optimistic. I'm having fun with the Red Sox and the Celtics, and I'm looking forward to clowning one specific player tonight.
Yeah. We definitely have our sights set on someone in particular in this episode, so should be fun to get into that. Also with us on the show from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you?
Doing well. Ocean temperature down here is 78 degrees, by the way. Bath water.
I wouldn't get in it.
I do it all the time.
Every weekend. Would not get in at the ocean if it was that cold. That's ridiculous.
That's cold?
It's freezing. Dude, are you out of your mind?
You grew up on the Cape.
That's a clown take.
You grew up on the Cape.
I live in South Florida, bro. You gotta be a minimum of 82. Minimum.
Okay, so it has to be swamp water for you to get in, because that's essentially
you gotta be mid-80s to be comfortable. Oof. For sure.
Did you swim in lakes when you were a kid?
Yeah, my dad lived on a lake.
Okay, so you know when you pee and you swim into it and it's a warm spot? That's essentially seems to be the criteria for you.
Yeah, but you don't need to pee to do it.
You're not in Florida.
Great.
Well, yeah, but not in Florida.
Similar temperature.
By the way, the context is different. Because when it's 92 degrees, if it was 78, the shock is just brutal.
I said 78 degrees. We're talking about a 4-degree difference, Jeremy. So you're telling me you're going to scream like a girl if it's 78 degrees.
No, I'm not going to scream like a girl. I'm just not going to go in the ocean if it's 78 degrees.
I'm skeptical. I can be found on Twitter at CushmanMLB. You can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Instagram we're on, and then we have a new blog. You can find us in print form. Just search Bastards of Boston Substack, and it's a little bit different, and you'll see what I mean when you go there.
Yep, absolutely. We're delving into the written format a little bit this year, so a little bit something different, but some cool topics on there when you check it out. So when you get a chance, definitely swing by and see what we've been kind of talking about this season. But let's get into some of these clowns that that we're going to take aim at this week. And unfortunately, Red Sox fans, one of them plays for you. And he hasn't been here very long, but it didn't take long for him to get in our target lines. We're talking about your newest first baseman, Dom Smith, who made a pretty bad error in Tuesday's game against the Phillies. It led to two runs being scored, really kind of put that game away. Carter Crawford was pitching okay. He was, you know, he wasn't doing too badly. Gets a ground ball, runners on second and third, two outs, gets a ground ball to second. Valdez throws to Dom Smith. Dom Smith kind of just doesn't catch it, bounces right off his glove. The two runs score, that made it 3-1. You end up losing that game 4-1. And then Dom Smith, after the game, was asked about that very play and didn't exactly endear himself to many Red Sox fans. So he was asked to explain the error, and he said, quote, "You have to play clean baseball. Like I said a few weeks ago, it's unfortunate. It was a tough play up the line. I'm not trying to get my arm knocked off, not trying to go on the injured list. It's very unfortunate. It's something that I probably make more often than not, and they score two runs. We had opportunities to score back. We didn't score, and we lost the ball game. You could rewatch the replay. The ball is in the baseline, and I'm reaching to make the play while not getting injured and not getting hit. So it's just not a routine play." So that was Dom Smith's explanation of what went down on that play. Again, it did cost you the game. And sure, Red Sox offense can score more than one run. That would help. But you're going up against Zach Wheeler. So at that time, it was a big swing in the game. So definitely not the explanation that you want to hear from a professional baseball player at the end of that. So, Jeremy, I will lead you off here. You read the comments. You heard what he had to say. You saw the play yourself as well. What do you think about Dom Smith and that error on Tuesday night?
What a bitch. How soft can you be? It's pathetic. What a just loser mentality, and I immediately hate the player. And as an organization, you're trying to build a winning culture and you have this nonsense going on. I would have DFA'd him if I was management. I would have DFA'd him. He's not the answer. Dahlbeck's on the roster. Is Cooper still on the roster? He's not a plus player. DFA him and send a message. What a pathetic loser comment. Stand up and admit you sucked in the moment. And don't tell me we had opportunities to score runs and didn't score runs. You had an opportunity to affect the game. You play baseball one out at a time. Two runs in that moment affects your ability to run the bases, play small ball, go first to third. It has a tremendous effect. To come out and say I was afraid to get my, quote, arm knocked off, I'm sorry. It is pathetic, and I don't want people like that on my team. It's absolutely pathetic. What a goddamn loser. Now.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go. You go.
I mean, look, I'd like to get your opinion on this. I think you DFA. He should not have played another game in a Red Sox uniform. You owe him absolutely nothing. He's not a plus player. Cassis is on the verge of coming back. He's your long-term solution at first base. To just put him back in the starting lineup the next night, obviously it's an indictment on him, but it's an indictment on the fact that the organization seemingly just allows it to happen. And I'm a big hockey guy amongst all four major North American sports, and you know, while the NHL playoffs are going on, that sport and its toughness, this is just an indictment on baseball, how pathetic it is. It's absolutely just amateur hour that you're more focused on what's going to happen, Dom? Sprained wrist? Like what injury are you even putting yourself at risk for? It's absolutely pathetic. And his teammates should frankly look at him differently, because he's not there to win. Now I'm done.
So ironically, earlier that very day, Garrett Cooper was DFA'd and Dom Smith was the player they kept. And I mean, he has the better bat, and fairly recently we were saying nice things about him. But I just wonder, you know, had they kept Cooper another day, would the decision have been the same that following day? I forget if it was Yoshida or O'Neill. One of them got activated, so that's why Cooper was gone. But it's a self-awareness thing for me. He's lucky to be here. He's lucky that Tristan Casas isn't swinging a bat yet. We're not lucky for it, but he is. And it gives him a chance to extend his career a little bit longer. Now, would he end up with another team? Probably. Would he be playing as much? Probably not. So it's just one of the mind-boggling things. And he's had a front row seat to Rafaela completely selling out, trying to make miraculous plays out in the outfield, and he has. Willy Abreu makes me uncomfortable with how aggressive he is, because I've literally seen him try to run through that outfield wall a couple of times, and I'm like, come on, man, we need you. You know, chill out just a little bit. Don't break your ribs on the outfield wall. And then, as fate would have it, he trips down some steps and sprains his ankle. But still, Dom Smith has seen the level of effort that everybody's put in. Look over at shortstop. Hamilton was probably the worst defensive shortstop in the month of April, and he's turned it around. I mean, he's probably made at least one error recently. I don't remember when it was, but the effort is being put in all around him to keep this team treading water around 500 or a little bit above it. And it's just crazy to me that
Terry, another example is tonight, McGuire gets absolutely nailed on the forearm, 98 mile an hour fastball. And he's writhing in pain, and he's arguing to stay in the game. And he does.
Yeah. That's a good point. And when has a player's arm fallen off? When has a first base sustained a significant arm injury? When? I don't know. So it's just, it was a dumb comment, and he's lucky that Cooper was DFA'd earlier in the day, you know, before he made those comments.
He's also lucky that he started to swing the bat a little bit more, because for a while there, him and Cooper were pretty much the same offensively. Both of them were giving you nothing out of that first base spot. And it was getting to a point where the Costas injury happened. You pick up Cooper, which I think we all wanted, because at least he has a track record of being a professional hitter and, you know, having some good seasons here and there. And then you pick up Dom Smith too, and you go, okay, that's your platoon going forward. Fine. Like, you did what you had to do. You know, you're not just sticking with Bobby Dalbec every day, who cannot hit at the big league level. So fine. Dom Smith for a while there was not hitting. And defensively, he's been okay, but he's had a lot of blunders too. Like he's been very Jekyll and Hyde defensively, where some days he looks good and he looks very solid and makes good plays. And then other days it's like, what are you doing? Like, it looks like he can't play the position at all. So if he hadn't started to like pick it up with the bat a little bit and raise the average above 200 and take walks here and there, then that blunder along with those comments could have really cost him a job. And yeah, he would have landed somewhere else. But keep in mind, like, this is a guy who back in 2016 and 2017 was the New York Mets number two prospect. That's how his career started. He was supposed to be their future first baseman. Like, he was supposed to be the guy. Now, I think the Mets probably screwed him up because I think they called him up too early. That's a very New York Mets thing to do. So, you know, not surprising there. But it feels like he's been in the league forever. He's only 28. He's 28. He spent all last year with the Washington Nationals playing first base for them. And the Nationals have nothing going on. They're still in the middle of their rebuild. So they literally just plucked him off the free agent wire and were like, yeah, let's have him play first base because whatever. It won't be a total embarrassment. It looks like we're somewhat trying, even though we're really not. He was okay with Washington last year, played most of the games, you know, I think he hit around 240 with a little bit of power, but nothing special. And he still couldn't get a job until the Red Sox brought him in, you know, early this season after the Casas injury. So this is a guy who at once was a highly touted prospect, looked like he had a bright future ahead of him. It hasn't worked out, you know, played for a bad team last year. Now he's here with the Red Sox. And look, this team probably isn't going very far. Okay. They'll be lucky if they make the wild card. And I don't even think that's going to happen. So, you know, it's not like he's on a contending, you know, playoff bound team, right? He's on a team that's going to scrap and claw to get their way there, but they'll probably fall short. But either way, you're in a big market. You're playing for the Red Sox. Like, you're getting everyday reps at first base. Like, for a guy like Dom Smith, who's had so many ups and downs, and a lot of them downs for his career, he should be feeling really lucky that, like, a veteran in Garrett Cooper got DFA'd so you could get the job full time. And then you have a play like this where literally he just got scared and dropped the ball and, you know, run scored, and it kind of cost him the game. And instead of just owning it, instead of just saying, yep, it's a play I got to make, I screwed up, you know, my bad, I got to do better and I will be better. Instead of that, he goes, well, guys, you don't understand. My arm could have been flown to Jupiter by David Dahl running down the first baseline. Like, it was a harrowing experience. And then he follows that up by saying, well, the offense didn't score runs. We had opportunities, but they didn't score. So, you know, you can say I cost you the game, but we only scored one run. It's like, dude, you're part of the offense. So not only do you come out as
a loser.
Yeah, you come out as a coward at the end of the game because you're afraid of someone running into your arm. And along with that, you toss the offense under the bus. I mean, that's just, I don't know how the players feel about him in the clubhouse. Seems like they get along with him pretty well. You know, when he plays well and he's in the dugout, they're, you know, high-fiving him and it seems good. But if I'm a player on that team, you know, if I'm a guy like Rob Refsnyder, who busts his ass for this team whenever he's in there, or I'm a guy like Jaron Duran, who doesn't want to take days off and, you know, busts his ass on every single play. And I hear Dom Smith at the end of the game saying, well, you know, I was really worried about going on the IL, guys. Like, you know, I was really scared. And then, you know, well, the offense didn't score. I'd be sitting there going, dude, you suck. Like, we've had so many injuries to start this year. The roster was flawed to begin with. Nobody is really paying attention to us. Our stands are filled with, you know, fans from the other team every single series. We're out here busting our asses, and you're making excuses for a bad play because you thought your arm was going to get hurt. Like, I'd be looking at him going, dude, you don't belong here. Like, you know, hopefully Casas gets healthy sooner rather than later. And honestly, if you ask those guys in that locker room, they'd probably rather have Bobby Dalbec on the bench than Dom Smith. As bad as Dalbec is, as much as he cannot hit at the big league level, that guy tries, and he doesn't make excuses, and he plays good defense at first. So, look, I wanted to like Dom Smith because he had the pedigree, right? Again, top prospect just, you know, a while ago. Had, you know, a guy who I think got squandered by the Mets. I thought, okay, fine, he's still under 30. You might get something out of him. And he has been picking it up with the bat lately. But then you hear a comment like that and you go, oof, this is why. This is why you haven't made it. I don't think he's cut out for it. I don't think he's cut out to be a big time major league player. I think it's just, you know, you hear a comment like that and you go, dude, you don't belong on this stage. You really kind of don't. And it's just a shame that, like, you're forced to play him every day because of the Casas injury. But, man, when Casas gets back, I mean, I'm no Bobby Dalbec guy, but I don't know. Who do you think is going to really bust his ass more for you down the stretch here, Dom Smith or Bobby Dalbec? Because I don't think it's going to be Smith.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather root for Dalbec. And the guys, he got hot last week. He raised his average up to like 232. It's now back down to 217. The reason why, and Terry mentioned this, that we discussed him positively is that except for a really bad second inning a week ago, he'd been really good defensively. And I watched him, you know, I had a heightened like focus on him because of this comment, and I'm watching tonight's game. He runs like he just learned how to run yesterday. He's slow when he's out of shape. He doesn't hit, and now he can't play first base. What is he doing to positively affect the team? Really nothing. So you have, and then you add in the mindset that you're more afraid in the moment, in a highly charged, big, important moment in the game. You're worried about your arm being knocked off. That's the quote. It's just utterly ridiculous. It's extremely soft, and I have no patience for it. And then the quote itself is so ridiculous because all you have to do is take ownership and no one talks about it again. All he has to say is, I messed up. I didn't catch the ball. The ball hit my glove. I'm a major league first baseman. I should have caught the ball. We're not talking about it. No one else is talking about it. No one's tweeting about it. It's just a highlight that is going to be forgotten about, especially after you win the series. But how he handled it is just pathetic.
I hope he didn't want to be a coach in the future, you know? Can you imagine him saying, yeah, just dog it, kid. Don't worry about it. It's only two runs. The other thing, too, that's a little bit painful, I associate uniform numbers with a lot of things. When I go to my cribbage tournaments, for instance, when I pull my seat number, it was at one of the recent ones that I actually won, I drew number 41. So I'm thinking, oh, Chris Sale's number. And so I don't forget those things. He wears number two. The last two players to wear number two for the Red Sox, Justin Turner and Xander Bogaerts. Like two guys of the far opposite mentality of Dom Smith. Jerry Remy also wore number two way back in the day. So, stupid comment, and he's lucky there are no better options on the team. Because we saw a Mets guy, much different circumstances, but his post-game comments kind of helped him get DFA'd. So it's not unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, he's very lucky that Tristan Casas is still a little bit of a ways away from coming back, because otherwise, like, again, I don't know how his teammates feel about him, but if I'm in that locker room, I'd be pissed after hearing that, after given all the struggles they've already had this season, the fact that they keep fighting the way that they are. And then here's Dom Smith. Well, my arm might fall off. You know, it's just,
how about if you're playing through an injury?
Right.
And there are guys in the locker room that are, we don't know, but imagine if you're playing through an injury and you're, you know, maybe taking Toradol shots to play. And then you have this coward come up and say that, like, you have to be like, I almost swore. Credit to me, I didn't do it. But look at this guy. You know, what a just coward piece of shit.
Apparently, Rob Refsnyder is the de facto team captain, if you listen to the beat writers. If I were him, I would have went to the UPS store or the FedEx store, whichever one's closer, and got a bunch of bubble wrap and brought it to the park the next day. And be like, here you go, Dom. Just put this on there and make the goddamn plays.
Well, I'll tell you, and I've heard the same thing, Terry. I hope that he's the type of leader that went and said something to him. This is not okay. You have to take ownership. We're professional athletes. And if that didn't happen, then I have a problem with leadership, clubhouse leadership, player leadership. because I already have a problem with management leadership. But so I mean, I assume that happened. But if it didn't, that's a whole nother layer to the problem.
My favorite part about the interview was he had kind of made those comments, and one of the beat writers kind of fired back and was like, well, you know, it was kind of a routine play. And Smith goes, it wasn't a routine play. And then he turns like for the next question. I'm like, what kind of routine?
But how is that even a factor? The ball hits your glove. So whether it was a difficult play or a routine play or wherever it is on the scale, your job is to make up for the mistakes of the infielders. So if a shortstop one hops a ball, you need to scoop it. That's your job. The best first basemans in baseball save errors for the infielders. This ball was in the air in his glove, and he just didn't catch it. I don't want to hear routine play, not routine play. That is just such a loser mentality. I can't get over it. Just catch the goddamn ball. It hit you. It hit the glove. It's utterly ridiculous. There's no excuse. Again, just take ownership and move on, and we're not even talking about it.
Who's the best? This is unrelated, but who is the best defensive first baseman we've had? Probably Moreland.
Well,
Doug Minkiewicz was pretty good back in the day.
Minkiewicz, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's from the first.
And when they moved Euclid from third to first, I thought he was pretty good too because he had the background playing third. He was really good at balls in the dirt.
Yeah, and I don't know if Napoli qualifies, but surprisingly, I mean, he was pretty good. I mean, he was Scoops McGee, you know,
he had the catcher's background, right?
Yeah.
So he was really good at receiving the baseball, including at first base. His problem was, and I've met Napoli. He lived in South Florida before he went and worked for the Cubs. Really small. I was surprised by how small he was. Hmm. But he had really good receiver skills. Again, from his time as a catcher. So, I mean, you know, at the big league level, it's not something you really deal with that much, you know, but his play in the last week has been, and then you couple it with his comments and it's like, it's unexcusable. I mean, I'll use that word. It's unexcusable.
And I mean, another guy, he was only here for a year. It was the very last year of his career, but John Olerud, that year he played first base for us. He was smooth as hell. Like, and he had been his whole career, so it wasn't a surprise, but we've had good defensive first baseman in the past. It's just, you know, lately, you know, we had that Hanley Ramirez experiment. Like lately it hasn't been there. And I don't know, Casas, like it's, I want him to great. Be good defensively, but man, yeah, he's not there yet. Yeah. That part of his,
he may get there. Cause he's a big bodied guy. He kind of lumbers around and sometimes he's late to the bag and his ability to turn around and find the baseball is a little slow and delayed. But again, if you hit, it doesn't matter. Like if Smith had the week he's had defensively, but he's hitting 265 and he's like raking, hitting 20 bombs, he's on pace for 100 RBIs. No one cares. You know, like it's just, and that's part of the reason why it's so astonishing that he handled it the way he handled it. He's not providing any plus factors. He's not contributing positively. He shouldn't even be here.
And that's, anyways, to your point, like I do hope Ref Snyder was the guy that went and talked to him, because Ref Snyder had a similar career. Like he's been DFA'd a couple of times. You know, it was with the Yankees. They got rid of him. He's kind of bounced around, and he has found a home here. But he's 31 years old, and you know, I don't know if he was ever a top prospect at any time. I doubt it. But he's been up and down in the majors. He's been through a lot of struggles. Had to play overseas at one point, and he battled his way back, and now he's here. So he probably went to him and said, "Look, dude, you know how many times I've been DFA'd or cut in my career? Like, you're lucky that." You're playing in that, like, you know, those comments aren't going to get you in trouble, but like you need to just play the position and stop making excuses, because like, yeah, it's not a perfect situation here, but we're all trying. We're all fighting our asses off. You need to be on that boat too.
So for me, it doesn't, I mean, you preferably want your leader to be a good player, and Ref Snyder is a good player. He's no superstar, but he's He's a good player.
He was,
but for me, that doesn't matter. It doesn't factor in. If your leadership, whoever it's coming from, didn't address this, that's a problem.
I have to think that Cora did, because that same post game, Cora said, "Yeah, he dropped it. It was an error. He dropped it. It was a bad play." So I think, you know, I don't know who went first, but even Cora. So even if Cora went first and then Dom Smith spoke after, Cora probably heard that and was like, "Dom, my office, a couple minutes." Like, probably told him, "Dude, you screwed up. You got to make that play. I don't care. Stop making excuses. Keep your mouth shut and play." Because, like, we're the kind of team, we can't afford those mistakes. Like, shape, you know, get your head out of your ass and let's go. So I have a feeling that Cora probably sat him down too, because Cora was a really good infielder in his career. He prided himself on being a good, solid defender his whole career. So I'm sure him hearing that, he probably went, "What the hell? Like, no, dude, we're not doing this." So I have to think that he was spoken to, and, you know, that's the way it should go, because those comments were just ridiculous. So,
Ref Snyder, real quick, he was drafted in 2012 by the Yankees in the fifth round. So, you know, he was somewhat touted at one point. Spent 2019 and just basically 2019 overseas. Interestingly, this is the first year he's ever gone into camp with a guaranteed contract. He's never had that. He's always had to make the team out of spring training, or perhaps maybe he was acquired mid-season. But it's the first time he's gone through spring training into opening day with a contract.
Oh, and we're better off for him, because he's one guy that I don't think anyone could have a real complaint about. So happy to have him for sure. So moving on from Dom Smith, another player in this series, this time on the other side, who made a bit of a fool himself, I think at least, was Nick Castellanos. So this was the June 12th game. So this was game two, and he got called for a pitch clock violation. Wasn't ready to go, so got called for a strike, and he was seen talking to the umpire, and someone actually picked up the audio of it because they got in close enough you could hear it. And essentially what Castellanos told him was, "Out of respect for somebody who's been in the league for over 10 years, you got to effing speak up, brother." So essentially Castellanos was complaining to the umpire that, "Hey, you know, I'm a veteran. I've been in this league." He's actually been in the league 12 years. You know, "You got to tell me when I'm close to a violation instead of just calling it and calling me for a strike." I'll be honest, I've never been a Nick Castellanos guy. I think he's one of the most overrated players in baseball. I think that people look at him and they view him as one of these, like, he's one of the best right-handed hitters in baseball. And at times he can be, but he sucks defensively. He can't run. And he goes through these stretches where he just can't hit either. And he's actually not having a great year with the Phillies. He got this massive contract, and it feels like he never lives up to the hype. He didn't live up to the hype in Detroit. He hasn't done it so far in Philly. So I think he's wildly overrated to begin with. But then I saw this, and I go, dude, I get it. The rules are somewhat new, but they're not that new. Like, by now, if you're a professional hitter, you know you've got to be in the box by a certain time. You have to acknowledge the pitcher. You got to be ready to go. So for him to be like, he gets called for the pitch clock violation because he's one of these guys just takes his sweet ass time in the box. If there wasn't a pitch clock, this guy's at bats would take 30 minutes, because he's kind of like what, and I love him, but Ortiz used to be the same way, you know, gets a called strike on him, takes a long walk out of the box, sighs, redoes his gloves like 8 times, looks at his bat, you know, deep breath. Okay. Saunters back in. Thank God for the pitch clock, because now he can't do that. But I still think he slips into those habits. And he did it, you know, on Wednesday, and he got called. And the umpire did the right thing. You watch the clock. It hits zero. You're not ready. Strike one. Like, let's go. Like, people have places to be. Like, This is why the pitch clock is here. Let's go. No more of this. I don't care that you've been in the league for 12 years. The rules still apply to you, and you know the rules by now. So either he knows the rule and doesn't care, or he's just so out to lunch that he forgot or whatever. Like, I put Castellanos in the same category as, like, Anthony Rendon. Like, just, I don't give a bleep. I got my money. I'll go up there, and, you know, if I find a pitch that I like, I'll smoke it. But otherwise, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to put any more effort into being a better defender or a better player. Whatever. I've made my money. I don't give a bleep. Like, that's mostly it. It's just I put him in that category. But, like, this was embarrassing. Like, dude, you know the rule. Especially, again, oh, I've been in the league over 10 years. Okay, then you should know better. You should know better. And you didn't, and instead you're going to blame the umpire? Because what, he has to warn you? The umpires go, hey, Nick, you're 3 seconds away from a violation? Like, that's not the umpire's job. That's your job. The pitch clock is in the stadium. It's in the batter's eye. You can see it with your own two eyes. It's your job to know it. So I just thought it was a dick move from Castellanos. Like, just, oh, I've been in the league 12 years. You should give me preferential treatment. No, screw you. Rules apply to you too. Like, learn them or don't. I don't care. But, like, strike one. Let's go. Get with the program. So I just thought Castellanos made a fool of himself there. But, Terry, what was your take on that situation?
I'm a Castellanos guy, as everybody knows. I advocated for the Red Sox to sign him. He got a 5-year, $100 million deal. Pretty fair value. Nothing that was unsustainable. I think that runs through his age 33 season. This is his 31 season. So, also hit 4 home runs in the NLDS last year against the Braves. Basically sank them with that performance. But having said all of that, if there's anything in life I hate, it's someone that thinks they're special and that they're entitled. And like you said, Jason, they've been dealing with the pitch clock for what? This is what, the second season or the third season? Either way.
Third season, I believe.
Third season. Yeah. So he's had over 1,000 at-bats of dealing with the pitch clock. So it shouldn't have been a problem. He dropped an F-bomb while making that statement to the umpire. He's lucky he didn't get tossed, and it would have been hilarious if he did, because, you know, I'm sure it would have been an epic meltdown. So that comment, you know, has, you know, I beat my wife written all over it. You know, that type of anger in that moment. I'm not saying he does, because I'm sure he doesn't, but it's just, it was very aggressive, and I hated to see it.
Jeremy, what do you think?
So I waffled on this, and ultimately I agree with you guys, but it's not unusual for referees or umpires to warn players. You know, in the NFL, I think this is the most common example of this. A receiver can look out to the line judge, point at him, and ask him if he's onsides. And they give him, like, yes or, you know, no, you need to move back a step. And umpires in baseball will routinely tell an umpire, a manager, I'm sorry, that's it. Like, you've said your piece, that's it. Or, you know, an NBA referee to tell a player, hey, you were a little close on the 8 seconds bringing the ball up across half court. And so I would assume that if you get to that point in the pitch clock where the batter has to be in the box, there might be a little comment, hey, like, you got 2 seconds. And so from that perspective, I get it a little bit, but that's where it stops, because there's clocks all over. Look at the clock, be aware. That's part of your job as a player. Everyone has adopted the rules. We just don't see this violation anymore, and that's because players are holding themselves accountable. We went back and talked about Dom Smith not being accountable. This is another example of a player not being accountable for the rules that everyone else has to play by. So even if most umpires would say, what do they have to be in at 8 seconds? right? So if you get to 9 or 10, an umpire maybe go, hey, you're running out of time here, and you can quickly get in the box.
Correct.
So even if most umpires are doing that, it's still a rule that everyone has to abide by. So why are you special? And then to take the step to show up the umpire, to Terry's point, if I was the umpire, I would have thrown his ass out of the game. I mean, he leans in and he makes an example of the umpire, and the umpire just stands there and takes it. In today's world where you have no ability to argue balls and strikes, you're just going to accept that? I don't know, man. I like Terry, like the player. He has his deficiencies, but I like his upside at the plate and I like his big game potential. But that was not a good look. And like Dom Smith, I think it shows a softness to the player.
I'm actually surprised, like you said, that he wasn't thrown out, because usually you drop an F-bomb to the umpire, you're generally gone. I mean, that's generally kind of what happens. Like, you see managers go out there, like, sometimes if it's a really egregious miss and the umpire knows it, they'll kind of let them get away with a few. But in general, for something as small as that, especially a call where the umpire is correct, you drop an F-bomb to his face, you're generally gone. Like, I'm a little surprised he didn't toss him there. And, you know, I get your point about, like, yes, the umpire could give him, like, a, hey, you're 2 seconds away, let's go. But pitchers don't get that benefit. Pitchers are on the pitch clock, too. They've got to be ready by a certain point, and they're too far away. Is the umpire going to yell out the pitcher, like, hey, you got 2 seconds? Like, no, it's pitchers have to know themselves, and, like, it's tougher for them because the clock's behind them. Sometimes in certain stadiums, the clock is behind home plate, but Fenway, it's not. So that's where I don't sympathize with Castellanos. The clock is right there in center field. It's right in front of you, like right in the batter's eye. There's no excuse. It's just that I don't give a bleep mentality, and, you know, too cool for school. Like, I'm a 12-year veteran. I'm on a good team.
Sorry about this. Oh, crap. Sorry. I don't know if you guys could hear that, but for the listening audience, my speaker shouldn't have caught that audio. It was an ad. It was an ad, but keep going. Sorry. Okay. I just wanted to apologize.
Nope. Yeah, no worries. I get it. I think it was from Castellanos. It was an I don't give a bleep. Like, I'm a 12-year vet. I'm on a first-place team. Like, screw this. It's kind of above me sort of thing. And that's what perturbed me about it. It's like, it's not above you. It's a rule. Like, be better. You need to know the rule, and you need to follow it. And then when you break the rule, blatantly break the rule, you don't get in the umpire's face and make an ass out of him and drop an F-bomb in his face. You take accountability. So you're right. It's very similar to Dom Smith. Like, don't make an excuse. Don't get all uppity about it. You screwed up. Own it. And just get back in the box and let's go. But instead, Castellanos, because he's such a, you know, 12-year vet, you know, above everything, has to, like, get in the umpire's face about it. It's just embarrassing. And it's, again, like, I know you guys like the player. I never did. I'm glad Philadelphia gave him that contract and not us. But that's it. Yeah.
Here's something that kind of I had to look this up, and that's unfortunately why that stupid ad kicked in. I think this kind of makes it a little bit more egregious. That umpire is essentially brand new. He's only umpired 133 games, so less than a full season. He debuted last year. His name's Derek Thomas. So in a way, it was kind of a veteran player bullying a rookie umpire, and the rookie umpire seemed to let him get the best of him.
Yeah, I mean, if that's so I don't know who the most at this point, who the most senior umpire is in the union, but just for argument's sake, let's pretend he didn't retire. If that's Cowboy Joe West behind the plate, do you think Castellanos is getting in his face and dropping a bomb in his face? I don't think so.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm extremely pro Joe West. You know, there's a saying. What? Yeah, I like, and then here's why. Like, you can say he's a dick, but he's an upfront dick. So I respect him a little bit more. It is what it is.
I've always had a problem with umpires that think we're there to watch them. And Joe West was the ultimate, like, we're going to the game to watch Joe West call both balls and strikes. Like, I always felt that way. Always. And with the hindsight of that information, because I did not know that going into this, that's the only reason why he didn't get thrown out. Because anyone with veteran experience behind the plate is going to throw him out in that spot. With the modern rules with regards to umpiring, he's not still in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying about Joe West. He was upfront about it, but like, so was Angel Hernandez. I mean, that just because they're upfront about how bad they are and how much of an a-hole they are doesn't mean they're good.
Well, he wasn't. Joe West wasn't that bad. Like, Angel Hernandez was incompetent, I think.
Right.
So I think that's the difference. Now, to what Jeremy was saying, yeah, I mean, Joe West kind of made it about him sometimes. Like that time where he took the bat to draw the line in the dirt and told the player not to cross it, and then the player did, and then he got ejected, and he got him and Papelbon both got suspended for that blow up that they had. Papelbon, you know, made a lewd gesture to some fans or whatever, and West happened to see it and tossed him for it, and then they he got into it. And I tried to, even though Papelbon is literally my favorite player of all time, I tried to defend Joe West. I'm like, well, you know, how did Joe West know that Papelbon wouldn't try to grab his, you know, private area? So anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I just really enjoyed Joe West.
Yeah, I will say it's a little bit weird having an MLB where you don't really like the umpires now are all kind of faceless. There's some names you'll recognize, but there's not the characters anymore. Joe West is gone. Angel Hernandez, for good reason, is gone. But yeah, I think a more veteran umpire would not have taken this from Castellanos, and they would have tossed his ass for that display. It was just embarrassing. So
Jerry Lane is the most senior umpire now. He's 65 years old and been in the league since 1989. So he's probably the last guy from the 80s to still be in Major League Baseball.
He's got to be. Yeah. Year I was born, 1989. Wow. So that's kind of crazy. Yeah. So good for him. So with that, we will wrap up this edition of Clown Takes. I think we covered all the bases that we wanted to. So everyone enjoy the Yankee series this weekend. Enjoy, hopefully, Celtics bringing a title home. And we will be back with you guys on Monday morning to recap that Yankee series. So everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.